Listen.
Where are we?
Psalm 52.
I'm sorry, where are we going?
Psalm 52.
One more time.
Psalm 52. There's Kevin. Let's wait for Kevin to come in. We've been talking about idolatry and the basis for idolatry and in our inner lives. And previously we read Psalm 51, which was about confession and seeing, you know, our own brokenness. And Psalm 52 is, it's really based on a historical incident. It says right at the beginning, it says, "This is a psalm of David when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David has come to the house of Abimelech." And this was, you can read about it in 1 Kings or somewhere, but this guy basically betrayed David. Doeg was an Edomite, which is spiritually in the scriptures, Edom represents the flesh. And Doeg basically wanted, you know, he was, for his own advantage, he was turning in David to Saul so Saul could go find him and ostensibly kill him. And, but as a, for us, if we look at it, it's a psalm of Christ in us talking about the way our just natural flesh operates. In other words, we're Doeg that he's talking about. So let's read a little bit of this. "A psalm of David when Doeg the Edomite came and told Saul and said unto him, David has come to the house of Ahimelech. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Thy tongue devises mischiefs, like a sharp razor working deceitfully. Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness." Selah. And it says, Selah is like, stop and think about this. And that's left to our own devices, that's what we do. That's us. It's not... When it talks about a tongue, it's really talking about the mind behind the tongue that thinks up the things to say. So the tongue, you know, when he talks about a tongue, it's just like the acting out of the carrying forth of whatever was going on inwardly. And so this is a pretty good description of humankind. We devise mischiefs and work deceitfully like a sharp razor. Just like, you know, cut people. "Thou lovest evil more than good, and lying rather than to speak righteousness." It's almost as if we can't really, no matter how hard we try to speak truthfully or righteously or correctly or, you know, something of substance, it's always twisted somehow, you know. So... He goes on, "Thou lovest all devouring words, O thou deceitful tongue." So now he's sort of left off talking about Doeg, and he's more general just to the tongue itself as an expression of our mind and our thoughts. "God shall likewise destroy thee forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. Selah." So, And in fact, you know, this is what happened on the cross. So it's done. The race of Adam has died on the cross, and there's no future in our deceitful thoughts and our deceitful words and our dancing around and trying to, you know, make everything twisted to our advantage. The reason I was thinking about this, I was thinking about motivation and where our idols come from. And our idols are just objectification of our motivations. And our motivation is for self. So we create an idol for our self-benefit. You know, that's basically the thing that goes on. But he says here, the first part of this psalm is sort of exposing our mind for what it does. And the second part is revealing the mind of Christ and what's an alternative. You know, if we can abandon ourselves, then something different will happen. And he says, the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. This is the great part about idolatry and just in general, God, you know, laughs at anything that's coming against him because it looks so ridiculous from his point of view. He's so big, and the little things that we do where we think we're, you know, getting away with something or, you know, whatever our mind is thinking. You know, some other places says he has them in derision. You know, it's the same idea. He's mocking our attempts at trying to manipulate things like we're in control. Because from the point of view of outside of time, it's ridiculous. So, the righteous also shall see and fear and shall laugh at him. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, and strengthened himself in his wickedness. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will praise thee forever, because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. And what he's talking about here is the alternative to all of our lying, manipulative, weird thought patterns that just pour out of us nonstop. It's these just few things. It's to trust, which is like to be a green olive tree in the house of God means to know you're in the proper place and just abide. You know, it's not talking about any particular type green tree that was growing in the temple or something. It's basically you're in the house of God if you're at rest in the place. You know, if you've come to rest,
and
you know,
olive would be the represent the oil of the Holy Spirit too.
Yeah, that's the fruit of that.
The fruit of being resting.
So, you be like the olive tree, know who you are, and be at rest. Trust in the mercies of God forever and ever. You trust in not trying to get it right, which would not be. If you were trying to get it right, as we do, then we're trusting in the justice of God and thinking that we are going to, you know, come out on the good side of that justice. We're going to be proven to be right. And that's not true. Because the harder we try to get something right, we just screw it and twist it up all the more because of this, you know, mental deceitfulness that goes on that he just described. So we want to trust in his mercy forever and ever. And probably, you know, it's like mercy, his mercy that exists outside of time. That's what the forever and ever thing is. So we trust in his eternal mercy. And then praise. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. Or to rephrase that, I praise thee forever because thou hast done it, rather than something I'm going to be doing. I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. So you praise God, you wait, you trust, and you be like an olive tree and abide in a place where you know that it is your your home. And, you know, it's that silence in the temple for the space of half an hour. You know, it's like if you can, that's what this is talking about. Because that's all that's wrapped up in that position. And instead, like Doeg the Edomite, we're continually coming up with stuff. We watched an episode of House the other night where this guy has a brain, you know, stroke or something that causes him to lose his ability to regulate his thoughts. He just speaks whatever he thinks. And, you know, so all the things he's always thought about his wife and his kids and his job and, you know, everything start coming out, and he gets in big trouble, you know, before they can figure out what it is that's wrong with him, you know. And it was so horrible for him that, you know, he wanted to risk this dangerous operation to fix it. And, but, you know, when I was, it's like that's our minds are always doing that, you know. And we create a reality where we don't recognize that's going on because, you know, and that allows Doeg the Edomite to just do his thing without us doing anything. You know, we don't recognize that's going on. We think, I'm a very nice person. I'm a people person, and I like people, and I get along with them. But, you know, what's going on is Doeg the Edomite is persecuting Christ in my thoughts, and that will come out in my speech occasionally. And, you know, the fact that it does is probably a blessing, because that way I can repent. But what the reason these stories are here and the Psalms is so we'll take them into our living experience and see what happens. You know, Doeg the Edomite was a historical guy who did a certain thing regarding David, but he also represents, you know, the twisted, lying, fraudulent, you know, betrayal that goes on in our own minds toward Christ, who is our life. So, and that's why our confession and repentance are so rare, because we don't want to be in the position of that guy who just spills out everything all the time. You know, that's the thing we don't ever want to be. And confession is a breaking of that, you know, unconscious regulator that keeps us from being vulnerable. So if we can just be like the olive tree, know who we are, be abiding and at rest, trust God, praise God, and, you know, what's the last thing here he says? To wait on thy name. And that's the hardest thing in the world for our flesh to do, but that's the place of joy. Waiting on God is the place where our joy is manifest. So that's why if you haven't been having a lot of joy, then try waiting on God and see if it works. You know, instead of running on the little, you know, treadmill of your mind. Because this is it's like that twisted, lying mind talk that Doeg the Edomite represents, that's the basis for building any idol that we've got in our house full of idols, you know. Because we think it'll be of some advantage to us and it will protect us, or, you know, whatever. So it's time to drop all that. And if all we have to do is agree with God and then let him show us his finished work. Because it says he has done it. You know. Amen? So hold your applause. What are you really thinking?
What are you thinking, Doeg?
Yeah, you don't want to name your new baby Doeg. I'm going to tell Johnny not to take that off the list of possible names. So on that note, carry on. Somebody can punch the button.